This week, I turned, as I often have while we've studied the Psalms this summer, to Walter Brueggemann's theological commentary on the message of the Psalms. I looked in the index, and sure enough, I thought, oh, great, he's got a page on Psalm 23. So I turned to page 154 and saw that Psalm 23 had its own heading, and where I started to read, it is almost pretentious to comment on this psalm. Thanks, Brueggy, you do always tell it like it is. But Brueggemann did go on to suggest that the simple words of confidence in the 23rd Psalm already bear a powerful witness without additional comment. This psalm is deeply embedded in biblical spirituality in a genuine way. The 23rd Psalm is near to the hearts of many Christians, and even recognizable to many who have left Christian scriptures far behind. I asked Tim to have the psalm read from the King James translation of the Bible because I'm certain that many of those turns of phrase are still very familiar to many of us, even memorized. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I also asked Tim to read the psalm from the Message so that the words we know so well could suddenly be fresh in our ears, causing us to listen in a new way. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. Psalm 23 is a prayer of trust, confidence, and gratitude for God's leading. It's a psalm to return to throughout our lives. We teach the 23rd Psalm to our children, and many of us turn to it in grief, in aging, and in dying. The scenes painted in the psalm itself also describe so many different parts of our lives, the calm, serene times, the dark, unknown seasons, the anxious encounters with enemies, and the points of overflowing blessing. It's a psalm for every moment. And as I look to this psalm, I see that it is brimming with reminders that we need every day. It's overflowing with gifts that God has for us that heal us of the messages that we receive from other places and that tear us down. This is a psalm to reset our equilibrium. Every other Sunday of our psalm series has named a type of prayer that we might pray and that we see in the psalms. In Psalm 23, I see a life lived in prayer, not only naming those specific moments that we need praise, lament, confession, help, but also constantly returning to our source, remembering where our prayers are pointed, whatever words, cries, dreams, images, footsteps, and working hands were praying in that direction. I'm calling this the Always Prayer. How do we pray an always prayer? Or how do we pray without ceasing, as we read in 1 Thessalonians? I'm not really going to give you a how-to list today. Theologian Ronald Rollheiser writes in his new book, Sacred Fire, that the human soul is like a fine wine that needs to ferment in various barrels as it ages and mellows. He goes on to write about three stages of Christian discipleship and the energies that drive us in each. These stages are not quite alike, and our spirituality will not be precisely alike within them either. As our souls enter different barrels in the fermentation process, spiritual disciplines, practices of prayer that we once exercised without fail, may drift from our lives, and other ones may take their place. The questions we ask of God will surely shift and change. The questions God asks of us may also change. How we pray may change, whether you journal or speak or sing or draw or walk or dream or read or fast or serve, but that we pray, this remains at the heart of our relationship with God. Always be tuned into God. Always be receiving. Always be sending. even if your prayers are being sent in someone else's voice when you have no words left yourself. Even if you aren't sure you're receiving anything, but you trust the community within which you're letting your ears be open. Listen and give back. Psalm 23 reminds me to pray always. And I see in its words some reminders that we do always need to come back to help reset our equilibrium as children of God. Because there are always cultural countermessages that chip away at the assurance of this psalm. Let's hear Psalm 23 again, this time from the New Revised Standard Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Already the first line stands us against our prevailing culture, which wants to form us as consumers, wanting, needing anything our neighbor has that will work faster than what we have. I shall not want hits the reset button on the drive to consume. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. These verses bring us away from the frantic pressure to do, go, achieve, and remind us that our worth is in our identity as children of God, not in the fullness of our schedules. One commentator has said that restores my soul means that my shepherd gives me back my life. Do you ever feel like your life is run by someone or some force outside yourself? This psalm assures us that we can stop running and savor God's gifts. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. This word here for paths, everywhere else it's used in the Hebrew Bible, is translated as tracks or entrenchments, or even specifically the ruts that are made by the wheels of an ox cart. So I'm sorry to take you back to the 60s, but we are looking for righteous grooves. The one thing you'll remember today, righteous grooves. We want to stay in the grooves, the paths of righteousness and justice. And we're helped to stay in that by all of those who have traveled before us to create that path. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What countercultural words in a time of fear-mongering. I fear no evil, for you are with me. These words echo God's promises throughout Scripture, of which God's people need constant reminders. God says through many messengers, "Fear not, I am with you." And the psalmist here says, "I fear not, you are with me." These words don't always come on their own, though. I found a video from Christian Peacemaker teams quite a few weeks ago that I couldn't not share. It just said Psalm 23 to me. You may know that where CPT works in Hebron in the West Bank, Palestinian children live in fear even of walking to school, as they or their friends have been harassed and detained by soldiers. CPT currently accompanies children from 8 schools and 2 kindergartens as they walk to and from class. This video is from the Al-Saraya kindergarten near the Ibrahimi Mosque. A teacher there requested CPT's help because children weren't coming to school regularly because of their fear.
كثير كثير انبسطنا بالتعاون اللي صار ما بين جمعية الهلال الأحمر والفرق المسيحية للسلام اللي هي CPT. كانوا جدا كنا مبسوطين لأنه وفروا لنا الحماية والأمن والأمان للأطفال من خلال ذهابهم مجيئهم وذهابهم من البيت للروضة ومن الروضة للبيت. حسينا أن الأولاد انعكست عليهم فرحة، ذهب عنهم الخوف، كانوا يوصلوا بالمواعيد المحددة لهم، صار هناك نوع من الانتظام 100% تقريبا. خلينا نقول 99% تقريبا، لانه الاولاد كانوا من الخوف ومن الاحداث اللي بتصير حواليهم مرات بتاخروا مرات، فهون صار نوع من الانتظام. انعكس هذا على الأولاد في خلال النص العام الأخير من السنة الدراسية، وهذا الحكي أعطانا حافز وأعطانا قوة ودعم لا مستقبلية للعام الجديد. فهذه كانت هي الخطوة الأولى اللي الفرق المسيحية تعاونت فيها بأنها تأتي وبدء البرنامج من نصف العام قبل الانتظار لعام 2016. فهذه الخطوة كانت جدا حلوة وجدا متعاونة وجدا آمنة إلنا ولأولادنا، وارتحنا من ناحية نفسية في هذا المجال. شاكرين لكم تعاونكم وجهودكم على المدى القريب والبعيد.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley. Sometimes when we find our righteous grooves, our paths of righteousness, we discover that God's peace and comfort can come through us to others. This is what we support when we support CPT. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God invites us to the table, come what may and come who may. Perhaps those we have been taught are our enemies are, in fact, also God's invited guests. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. An overflowing cup signifies abundance, and only a highly honored guest would have been anointed with oil. There is an abundance of grace and love and blessing at this table. Grace is not a limited resource. There is enough to go around and around and around, even for you, even for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not just follow, but more accurately pursue. The message said chase. Usually in the Psalms, the enemies are pursuing, but here enemies are harmless. And God is in active pursuit with goodness and mercy. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Now, I had never had this pointed out to me before, but the verb that was translated dwell in the King James Version, and therefore influenced the NRSV, is the common Hebrew word shuv, which almost always means to turn or to return. And so rather than thinking of dwelling in a passive sense, one commentator suggests that this line could better be said, I will continually return to Yahweh's presence my whole life long. Seeking after God's presence is a lifelong enterprise, a long-term journey, a daily push of the reset button. Psalm 23 may have been one of your favorites throughout life. Or you may not have paid it much mind because it was so familiar and didn't seem to have anything new to tell you. Whichever camp you fall in, or maybe another camp altogether, I invite you to receive this psalm, this prayer, as a resetting of your equilibrium as a daughter or a son of God. Let it bring you back to your source so your cup can overflow with all of God's gifts. As you pray it this week, whether the short version in the bulletin or the whole thing in any translation you like, let it tell you the truth of who you are and who God is. There are approximately a million musical settings of this psalm, as Tim already alluded to, and I'm going to close my sermon by having us listen to one of them, giving you the space to dwell in the words and the promises. This is Bobby McFerrin's composition, which he dedicates to his mother, so it's also a slightly different paraphrase. You can close your eyes as you listen and take it in, or you can also watch the video of how the ensemble is completely tuned into each other as they make harmony, guiding each other. I think there's an analogy in that too. So dwell in this psalm.
Father, and to the